Blog Talk Radio.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, who were they? Matthew who? Mark who? Luke who? And John who? What were their last names? When did they write? Did they know Jesus Christ? Did they walk with Jesus Christ? Did they eat with Jesus Christ? Did they talk with Jesus Christ? Did they even meet Jesus Christ? The answer is no, 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 no. Conclusively. The earliest of them that wrote 40 years after Jesus Christ, so they never met him. The last of them wrote 80 years after Jesus Christ, never met him. The other thing is, all of them seem to have written the gospel according to. Now, when you write a letter, do you sign it according to? According to is the third party. If Joanne or Jackie or Bobby or Johnny told me something and I wrote it, I would say according to Joanne, Jackie, Bobby, or Ronnie, according to. But those four people would not write a letter and in front of it say Jackie according to Jackie and not even write her last name. Because if Jackie wrote me a check and only said Jackie, I couldn't cash it. And if I was a policeman and I stopped Jackie on the road and she had a license that only said Jackie, she's going to jail. Where in the world is a document with only one name of four different writers that did not meet the one whom they're writing about? Where is that accepted in the whole world? Nowhere except in the Bible. And the church fathers and the church writers and the Christian historians, they all agree that perhaps those four writers themselves were only pen names. Because a writer would not write his first name according to. And there's a great amount of suspicion that the man called Paul, Saul of Tarsus, that because he wrote all the books from Acts all the way to the end of the New Testament, how many books is that? How many? 16, 15, 17, 19? All the books of Acts on, Colossians, Ephesians, Corinthians, Romans, Galatians, all of those books are written by whom? Paul, Saul of Tarsus, another man who never walked, who never talked, who never met, who never ate, who never prayed, who never knew Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? Now here we find four writers and another one between them that wrote all the New Testament books that never talked, never walked, never ate, never prayed, never met the man called Jesus Christ. Yet, in their words, the first mentioning of the Trinity came from where? From Jesus or from them? The first mentioning of Jesus being divine, a man God, came from whom? From them. The first mentioning that Jesus is the Son of God came from whom? From them. Jesus never said in his own words any such words, but it was the men who never met him, who claimed to have written, who didn't know their last names. And Paul, by the way, before he had that vision on the road to Damascus that only he saw and only he heard, guess what his occupation was? Do you know? He was a bounty hunter. A hunter of Christians, hunting them down like animals, binding them and bringing them to where? To Rome so that they could be executed. Now, if Hitler, after killing thousands of Jews, said that on the road to Berlin, he had a vision that he was named an apostle to the Jews, and he wrote 20 books that all the Jews are supposed to follow, do you think they would be following that book? I don't understand how people just don't read history. This is not what Khalid said, so don't get angry with me. This is your own scripture, your own Bible scholars, their own church fathers. All of them agree that Paul never met Jesus, that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John never met Jesus. By the way, they were not disciples. Nor were they walkers and talkers of the disciples. They were just writers and historians.
Quite simply, a statist is somebody who believes in having a state. Basically, anybody who wants government.
Government is the exercise of authority over a people or place. And that is basically the right to rule. It's not just the ability to control other people, because most people have that in one way or another. It's the right. It's the idea that certain people, it's legitimate for them to forcibly control others. Belief in government is a purely faith-based, indoctrinated belief. It doesn't actually make any sense in practical terms or in evidence or in logic.
For years, I thought it was a really good analogy to compare government to religion. And only a few years ago did I realize it's not an analogy. It is a religion in every way. It has a superhuman deity, government, that has rights that mortals don't. It isn't restricted by the rules that apply to mortals. It issues commands, and if you disobey, you're a sinner, and you deserve to be punished. The faithful, the true believers, they have great faith in these bizarre rituals, elections and legislation and appointments, and they dress up and then they say, "Ta-da, now I represent government. I know I just look like a person, but I don't just have the rights of a person because I represent the magical deity called government. And so I'm allowed to demand your money and boss you around and hurt you if you disobey me. I'm acting on behalf of government, and it has commandments called laws. And these laws aren't just the threats of humans. They are decrees from something superhuman. And so all you good people out there should bow to this deity. And if you want the world fixed, this is what you pray to. And we give you certain rituals of how to pray to it and when you're supposed to pray to it and pray to the God to make the world what you wish it was and to save you from all the uncertainties of reality." The doctrine people are taught is just patently absurd. And a bunch of examples of that are like consent of the governed. There isn't such thing. If it's consent, it's voluntary. If it's being governed, it's not. The actual given excuse is, we have the right to rule you because you decided we did, even if you didn't vote for us, and even if you oppose everything we do to you. And, well, they represent us. Okay, they represent us by doing a lot of things that we don't have the right to do. And they represent us by bossing us around and taking our money. Like, I bet if I went to my neighbor and bossed him around and took his money and said, "I'm representing you," he would say, "What? What a stupid thing to say." To me, the most insane is, "We are the government," which you hear everywhere. And I ask somebody, "Wait, do you really not notice that there's a group of people over there? They issue threats, and they call them laws, and they issue demands for money, and they call it taxes. And if you disobey, they send men with guns to hurt you. Now, are you really incapable of distinguishing between yourself and them?" One of the biggest giveaways that the belief in government is a complete blind faith religious belief is the way people respond. One very easy line of questioning is, "Can you give somebody else a right that you don't have?" And everybody says, "Well, no, of course not." "Well, how about you and your buddy? Can the two of you give someone else a right that neither of you had?" "Well, no." And it only takes a couple more questions to get to, "Well, how did Congress get rights that you don't have?" They get emotional and they get angry or they get defensive or they run away. they didn't come to this belief through reasoning and evidence and logic. They came there by having a blind faith belief smashed into their heads, starting before they could even talk.
It's just something they were taught to believe, that there's this thing called authority, and that it's allowed to do things that human beings aren't, and that people have an obligation to obey it, to the point where, yeah, it's some people, they weren't gods or anything, some people wrote down a thing on paper, and then they called it legislation, and they did certain rituals, and then people go around saying, well, this is law. Most people literally feel physical discomfort and fear at the thought of disobeying anyone in authority. Most people can't say, no, I'm not going to do that, because it goes against their years and years of programming and indoctrination that trains them to think, if you do as you're told, you're good. If you don't, you're bad. And that's the message of school. And that message gets pounded in people's heads. Students are taught over and over and over and over again, every stinking day they're in school, that the measure of your virtue is how well you obey authority. The whole approval, disapproval thing. The one thing you learn in school is if you do as you're told, you get approval and reward. And if you don't do as you're told, you get disdain and condemnation. They'll make sure everybody knows you're a bad person because you didn't do as you were told. The belief in authority leads everybody, good people, bad people, everything in between, to advocate and do things they wouldn't otherwise do, bad things they wouldn't otherwise do. Including cops, because the cops really and truly believe that they have the right to do things that I don't have the right to do and you don't have the right to do. The only reason most of them do what they do is because they believe in authority, and they really believe that legislation gives them an exemption from morality. So that when they do something and someone says, hey, what you're doing is bad, hey, I don't make the law, I just enforce it. I'm not responsible for my actions, I'm just a tool of some weird thing somewhere else called government. You can't blame me for what I am personally doing because I'm not really doing it. As loony as that is, that's what most of them will say whenever somebody says, hey, what you're doing is wrong. It's not okay to, you know, it's not okay to lock people up for smoking marijuana. It's not okay. You know, all the ways in which quote unquote law enforcement initiates violence against nonviolent people. And if you bring that up to them, they literally talk as if they didn't do it. The only reason they do that is because they were taught the lie of authority and government and law along with everyone else. And then they were told, you're just a tool of the thing called law. And that makes it so you have rights that other people don't have. So you don't have to feel bad about physically assaulting nonviolent people because the law says it's okay. It really is just permission to ignore your conscience by saying you have rights that other people don't. You know, you don't have the right to tell other people what habit to have on your own. You don't have the right to go and extort people on your own. But once you're law enforcement, then not only is it okay, it's noble and great to go around robbing people and bossing them around. That is the biggest danger of the belief in authority. It tricks good people into condoning or doing really nasty, horrible, violent things because they think, well, this is okay if government and authority does it.
They are raised by their parents, by the school, by the government, by the culture, by all the authoritarian messages built into everything, to think that obedience is a virtue. And when you raise the culture to think that, and you get one nasty psycho at the top who says, hey, go do bad stuff, people say, well, I have to follow orders. I have to obey the law. I have to do as I'm told because that's a virtue. And then good people march off and do evil stuff. I'm not scared of the Maos and the Stalins and the Hitlers. I'm scared of the thousands or millions of people that hallucinate them to be authority and so do their bidding and pay for their empires and carry out their orders. I don't care if there's one loony with a stupid mustache, he's not a threat if the people do not believe in authority. Some people assume that, well, you must trust everybody if you don't want government. That's not at all true. I don't nearly trust everybody, but if I don't trust people to run their own lives, why on earth would I trust them to be in a position of power where they can forcibly run other people's lives?
Really what it boils down to is saying, I don't trust people. People are untrustworthy and unpredictable. So my solution is to take some of those people, some of the most untrustworthy around, give them permission to violently control us all. And that will protect us from the untrustworthiness of mankind. okay, you're so scared of the average man out there and so thankful for government. Let me ask you, who is taking more of your money under threat of force? Private people threatening you or agents of authority threatening you? How many murders are committed by private people compared to how many are committed by people acting on behalf of authority? It's not even close. The number of murders committed in the name of law enforcement and government and authority completely dwarfs private murder.
Even governments killing the people of other countries is small compared to them killing their own people. In the last 100 years, over 270 million human beings killed by their own governments, not counting war.
That first step is always the hardest, to get someone to dare to set aside his blind faith long enough to think about things, to back up enough to say, maybe government isn't even legitimate at all. It takes a lot for people indoctrinated into the faith to dare to think of those literally blasphemous ideas that, no, those people in Washington don't have the right to rule. Their threats aren't laws, they're just threats. Their demands aren't taxes, it's just extortion. And that really feels like heresy, because it is. It is heresy against the God called government. I now have a huge amount of hope, because I see an acceleration of the number of people who dare to think about these things, and now the number of people able to have this conversation is just hugely exploding. And they're still a minority. But that exponential curve, I don't think it's stopping. I really think the cult of statism is as good as dead. Ultimately, I think the belief in government is doomed for the exact same reasons that the belief in a flat earth was doomed. There's too many people pointing out the utter inherent insanity in the belief, and that's just not going to go away. Nobody who understands self-ownership and understands why authority is inherently bogus wakes up the next day and say, suddenly, you know, I think I should do whatever the politicians say. I think really humanity is just beginning to wake up to what it's supposed to be. Humanity wasn't meant to be a domesticated species owned by a ruling class. Every human being owns himself, is in charge of his own life. I'd like to see actual rational moral civilization in my lifetime, but we are going to get there. Sooner or later, we are totally going to get there. The lie will never outlive the truth forever.
Something to say, you need to just say it, man. Say it. That's what this is all about. What you gotta say? Let me hear it. Say it. What you gotta say? If you got something to say, you need to just say it.
Oh my God! Oh!
Hindsight Radio.
They ain't like my teacher gonna ask us who we gonna vote for president. Half the class says Hillary Clinton, half the class is Donald Trump, so they get to me, I said I'm voting for Jesus.
This is Hindsight Radio, the information station changing the nation.
I really cannot stand you. I got every Jordan, but no job ass nigga.
For the fiends, that's all I ask for. What the need? Can I ask for nothing else?
Oh man, there's a lot of shit out there that I hate. There's a lot of shit out there.
Radio.
I hate when dudes wear sweaters back.
Make up your fucking mind.
She's talking about how we all go out and die.
I hate how girls always think the dude is supposed to fight for them.
This is the Thursday Rant with your host, Akeem L., on Hindsight Radio. Holla.
My bad, y'all. I didn't even unlock my mic. I'm sitting there doing all this talking. My bad. Peace to the gods. This is Akeem L., the host of the Thursday Rant. You are now listening to Hindsight Radio, the information station changing the nation. You know, today's the Thursday Rant. It's the time we go in and we, you know, we talk about whatever we want, you know. But today I do have a topic. We're going to talk about bankruptcy. But first, let me announce the seminar this weekend. It is this Saturday and Sunday, 13th and the 14th. It's called the Entrepreneur Seminar. Come learn the secrets of wealth, featuring Jonah Bay, Akeem L., Joey Bounce L. Bay. We're going to talk about wealth building, debt cures, health remedies, investment planning, and a whole lot more. The fee is $90 at the door, one-time donation for both days. The location is going to be Courtyard Marriott, 133 Carnegie Way, Northwest, Atlanta, Georgia, 30303. That's going to be from 10 to 5 both days. Call Adeth, 678-887-3609. Adeth number again is 678-887-3609. Or call Al. 404-427-6391. Once again, Al's number is 404-427-6391. Come join us. We're going to have a good time. You know, this is going to be a short show today because I have to leave out early in the morning. I got to stop in South Carolina, handle some business, then get on the road to the ATL and prepare for this seminar. I've been running ragged all week, and, you know, in the middle of helping a brother out, he's got some issues with the law, so we're trying to help him out, and so I've been working on that all week. Things looking good for him, you know. I just wish people would come at me when they first start. It's easy to get you out of there when it's in the beginning than it is in the end, but it's looking good. You know, we do our thing here. And also, it taught me some new stuff as I was helping. I learned some new stuff, which we will be revealing at this seminar. We're going to break down some things for you guys. So I hope you guys can be there to hear this information that we're going to break down. And mortgages, some other little details that could help anybody who's dealing with a foreclosure. But again, like I said, tonight we're going to talk about bankruptcy. I'm going to have a special guest on. She specializes in that. She's she is the one I send people to when they have situations with debt, you know, and that is one of the alternatives. You guys got to remember that straw man is nothing but problems. So you should be thinking about not using that social and not getting everything out of that straw man's name. If you use the VPNs, this is a good way this is what I did personally. You know, I bankrupted them and went just start using straight CPNs. And I love it, you know. I don't have any problems. I don't have any issues. But she's coming in about 5 minutes. And once I see her number, 5 minutes, she'll be there. But I wanted to rant about something, you know. We really have to learn how to do business with each other, you know. I did business with a brother, and it was recommended to me. And I did business with him, and he wanted something that I usually don't offer. Won't go into any real full details about what he wanted. But it had something to do with TCPNs and something he needed. He wanted something. And I was the go-between. And the brother's getting what he's wanted, but it ain't coming fast. You know, and I gave him full disclosure. I told him straight up, I don't really fool with this, but I'm doing this because you say you want to start your business and you need help. You need this, so I'm gonna make the connection, and but it takes time. You know what I'm saying? These things don't happen overnight. And what I'm saying is, if you under a time constraint, You really shouldn't be doing anything that takes time to do it, you know. Especially people need to educate themselves on things before they even purchase anything. I have turned down so much business from people who don't really know what I do because I don't want the headache of sitting up there have to babysit and hold their hand trying to get them to understand what we do over here. I have refunded consultations, plenty of them, because I'm not going to sit on the phone for 30 minutes, an hour, and you don't even have the slightest clue about what we teach. I tell them, go listen to our station. Go listen to our station first before you start talking to me about the things you want to do. Listen to what we do. You know, so many people get on the phone and they want to talk about all the other stuff they heard on YouTube. I mean, It gets annoying. And then people like to put their problems on you. They rushing and they want you to rush. I don't fucking rush and do nothing. When you rush, you screw up. You mess up things. And if you're in a rush, you might want to talk to somebody else because you're not going to make me rush and when I got other shit to do. You know? Nevertheless, this brother going to call me and Jonah like we ripped him off. And here's the fucking thing I told him. I said, I don't do it like that, and I don't recommend you do it like that because there's so many issues that could come up. You're taking a gamble. He took a gamble, and it's taking longer than what he wants. But now you want to blame it on us. So that's how people get, you know, you hear about people getting bad reputations. That's people like that. They get full disclosure because they fucked up. They want to blame everything on everybody else. So I really don't like that. Me and Jordan was on the phone heated. You know, some thoughts came in my mind that I hadn't had in years. She didn't get the call-in number. I thought I gave it to her. I sent it to another number. All right, hang on. I got to send her the number. She just texted me. That was my bad. I sent it to the wrong number. Hang on, y'all. Let me get her the number to get in here. Oh, 9954. You know, they change up the numbers on us, so I don't be remembered by heart. Six, four, five. Let's get him in here. He's about to call in. All right, but anyway, that's what I'm saying. So we was dealing with that today. It seemed like bad energy trying to come your way right before you're about to do something big. And you got to be careful how that energy will draw you in real quick. So you got to be careful with that. Because people love putting their problems off on you. That's one of the tough things about doing consultations. You're constantly dealing with people's issues. Because this is going to be a short show, y'all need to put your hands up. And we're going to be talking about bankruptcy. She's going to answer the questions if you got them. I'm going to ask her some questions, and then we're going to go to taking some calls and try to stay on topic. Yeah, stay on topic. You know, this. You know what I noticed about our listeners? The stuff they really need to be applying, they don't really have no questions about. But that little, some other stuff that really, that actually can get them into some problems, they love that stuff, especially when they got to do money. Hang on, I'm seeing she got it. Anyway, let's see who's in the chat while we're waiting on her. Got a few guests, 10,004, 1021, 1046, 1058, 1098, 1112, Life Move 123, Model L, Magia Straight, and Tomorrow 1. We got a few people in the chat. We got quite a few people on the phone line. Peace to the gods. Thanks for tuning in. Hold on, I'm still waiting for this number to pop up. I don't see it. Let's go up. All right. They don't see it. All right. I'm going to take a quick break and try to get her in there. Hold on. Stand by, y'all.
Is this you discussing Indian blood? We're going to judge people by whether they have Indian blood, whether they're qualified to run a gaming casino or not?
That probably is me, absolutely. Because I tell you what, if you look at some of the reservations that you've approved, you, sir, in your great wisdom have approved, I will tell you right now, they don't look like Indians to me, and they don't look like the Indians. Now, maybe we say politically correct or not politically correct. They don't look like Indians to me, and they don't look like Indians to Indians. And a lot of people are laughing at it, and you're telling how tough it is, how rough it is to get approved. Well, you go up to Connecticut, and you look. Now, they don't look like Indians to me, sir.
Thank God that's not the test of whether or not people have rights in this country or not, whether or not they pass your look test.
Depends whether or not you're approving it, sir.
No, it's not a question whether I'm approving it. Mr. Trump, you know in the history of this country where we've heard this discussion before, they don't look Jewish to me.
Oh, really?
They don't look Indian to me. They don't look Italian to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a test for whether people could go into business or not go into business, whether they could get a bank loan. You're too black. You're not black enough.
I want to find out. You're approving for Indian. Why don't you approve it for everybody then? If your case is non-discriminatory, why don't you approve for everybody? You're saying only Indians can have the reservations. Only Indians can have the gaming. So why aren't you approving it for everybody? Why are you being discriminatory? Why is it that the Indians don't pay tax, but everybody else does? I do.
All right, I'm back. We finally got our guests in here. Open the mic up.
All of you don't have...
Connie, you there?
I'm here, Arkeen.
Okay, I'm glad you made it in there. I had checked it to your other number. I thought I checked it to the right number. That's what happened. But we got
okay.
you in here.
It's okay. We got it now.
Yeah. So, let me turn this down a little bit. We're going to talk about bankruptcy and the benefits of bankruptcy. So,
all right.
You're the expert, so I'm going to let you tell me what is the benefits of bankruptcy and how... And when is, you know, I think the most important question, when is it time to file? Because I think most people file when it's, they're way behind or they have real serious issues. But I'll let you break that down. How does that go?
Okay. Let me introduce myself. I'm Connie Brooks from CJ Financial Services. I am a paralegal. So anything that I tell you is not intended for legal advice, but it's intended to enhance your knowledge about bankruptcy, what it can do for you as far as relieving your debt. Actually, there's no certain time to file bankruptcy as far as time-wise. There is a time when you might not qualify. That qualifying can come because of the amount of money you make. If that's the case, then you would not be able to file the kind of bankruptcy that will completely clear your debt, but you would be able to file a Chapter 13. A Chapter 7 is when you have relieved yourself of all debt. And most cases, if you have at least 3 years back of IRS debt, you can include that. And there's a lot of bad information, I think, out as far as filing for bankruptcy. So if anybody has any particular questions that they want to ask me, I'd be glad to answer them. A lot of people that own a home, Phil. Oh, I'll let you ask me a question.
I have a question. You said, I think that was very important what you said about the IRS bills. So if I heard you correctly, if it's 3 years and you haven't done anything with that IRS debt for 3 years, you can possibly discharge it in a bankruptcy.
Possibly is true. Now, in most cases, you're indigent if you are filing for bankruptcy. So, in other words, you are low income. So, rather, if you Yeah, and depending upon the asset that you own,
mm-hmm.
as to whether or not they will take all the debt away, most generally all the debt goes in the bankruptcy, except student loans, of course. There's nothing we can do about a student loan.
Okay, all right, so the student loans can't go in there, but you can possibly do IRS debt depending on the situation. So
correct.
They come out owing and nothing. After that, after they do a Chapter 7, they owe nobody nothing. All the,
they're ready to.
They meet all the. Right. Now, what about somebody
they're
who
ready
owns
to
a
start
home
over
or
again.
Have a couple of cars and they want to keep those that property? What about that?
Well, you're allowed by law to have a vehicle. If you can't work, if you can't get to work, you can't. You know, so they allow you to keep a car. Now, that car can't be something that has, say you're driving a, let's just use a Mercedes, and that Mercedes has, is worth $30,000, and you only have $500 to pay, and you have X amount of debt. They're going to want you to sell that car and get a more economical car and pay some of the debt down. Now, if you have one or two cars and your wife drive one, you drive one, and they're not over what we call the exemption limit, and that gets into legal terms with bankruptcy, there's an exemption limit for every state. So if your car falls within that exemption, yes, you're able to keep that car.
Okay, so
as well
if you're
able
as to keep the car depending
is,
on the type of car. If it's not a luxury car, that's what it sounds like. If it's not something of a luxury car, it's something
not
that...
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Not necessarily. If the car... Okay, say your state has a $20,000 exemption law with their automobiles. That means if your car is worth $20,000, you get to keep your car because you're right at the exemption limit.
Right.
$15,000.
Gotcha.
And
okay.
if you owe on that car, yes.
Now, if they owe on the car, they would still have to keep making that payment, even though they filed bankruptcy.
Correct. If they choose to keep the car, they would have to keep making the payment.
Okay. So, now how about a house? If you have a house, you're trying to stay in your home, and you're filing this Chapter 7.
Well, if you have a home, your home can be exempt. And
okay.
most times what we do in this office, not all offices, is if they are in a home and they're filing for bankruptcy, then what we're able to do is go in there with them and help them modify their loan with their mortgage company to get them in a better position to continue to pay their bills. And most of the time, the mortgage company will go along with it if you know how to put the numbers together.
So that's where you come in. You know how to put those numbers together.
I know how to put the numbers together, write the letters up, and make sure that everything is in order before it goes to the mortgage company.
Got it. All right. Let me see if I can think. I can't think of anything else that I would I just wanted to say, you can do bankruptcy in any state pretty much now.
I do bankruptcy in any state. You can go to my website, cjsfinancialservices.com, and there I can answer any.
I'm gonna put that
you can get in touch with.
Hang on. You said CJ Financial
CJ
Services.
CJ with an S. CJ Financial Services.
With an S.
DBA, yes. Financial Services.
Spell that, like, because I ain't just, I'm not hearing that right, Grant.
CJCJS Financial,
okay.
FINANCIAL Services, SERVICES. Telephone number 719-495-6411.
All right. I'm going to put a link on my website to that, to your page, so everybody can find it. So I'm going to update my page so you guys
okay.
can find that. Now, to let you know, this is who I personally use for mine, my bankruptcy. So I'm not giving you someone that I haven't had experience with, and my experience has been very good so far. And I've learned some things because I had a misconception about Chapter 7, like you have to give up everything, you know, and I didn't know there was exemptions, you could keep certain properties. I thought everything had to, you know, I didn't really understand the Chapter 7 laws. You know, I knew about 11 and I knew about 13. And it's one of the cheapest ones to file. The other ones are like twice as much to file that. Now, before we go to the phone lines, if somebody was to come to you and you was going to do their bankruptcy, what are they required to bring? What do you need from them?
Well, actually, what I do is once they go to my website, there's information. Once they pay their fee, let's put it that way, I open up a questionnaire for them, and they'll answer all the questions on the questionnaire. The only thing that they really would have to have is things that are personal to them, and they know the answers to everything there anyway, like your bank account, how much money you got in your bank account, what kind of furniture do you have, what's your name, what's your wife's name, and that depends upon whether both of you are going to file or not. Then they need documentation if they have filed taxes. They need their check information. So those are things that are usually personal, and everybody knows how to – they know those answers anyway.
Okay. All right, so I think we covered more of the questions I had, so I'm going to just open up the phone lines to see what they have to talk about, what they want to ask. Let's go.
Okay.
To the first caller. 303-280. Peace. What's going on? What's your question?
Peace to the God, our King. Peace to God, guest. How y'all doing tonight?
Doing all right.
Hello.
Doing good, doing good. Good show so far. I like the topic bankruptcy, because I had to deal with one some years back. But I did kind of know that there were some things that was exempt on the 7. My question is the process of, because I know, and I'm not sure of how thorough the guests may be, so to speak, on the private side, like with hindsight and how they deal with things.
Any bankruptcy is a public act, so you're going in there as a straw man. Full disclosure. You know, but you're shutting it in the 7, you're shutting everything down, so you're going to have to do that to shut it down so you can eliminate that debt. But go ahead, what's your question?
So my question in regards to that is, because I had to do it some years back, right? And I remember that Jonah had said this, but I didn't know because I didn't listen to you guys at the time when I filed mine. But when I filed it, then you start getting all these offers, like credit offers, strange ones, big, lofty. You know, lofty type, and I just thought it was like a joke at the time. Like, oh, what is all this stuff? So my question would be, how do you address the credit rebuilding process after the bank? Like, is when you receive those like letters, is that you want to go after them, or do you want to kind of just start slowly, secure card, these types?
Yeah, somebody's got some background noise.
And I'm trying to get rid of it. It's at my place.
Oh, okay.
I have one of those little feisty dogs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, as far as the credit offers are concerned, if you want to get back into and you want to build that credit up again, what I usually do is consult with you. See what your goals are, whether you plan to go into business or just you're doing it for your personal self or, you know, whatever you're doing it for. And then I suggest different things for you. But if you don't know how to handle your finances and you went into bankruptcy because you kind of got off track, I don't suggest that you jump right into those offers right away.
Okay. So circumstantial kind of the
yes.
situation.
Now, It depends upon what your goals are. If your goal is to, say, just let that lay for a few years and start your credit up on another side, then that's a possibility. If you want to go into business, it's a possibility. For you to just let that credit be and then start it up in a way that it's an asset to you rather than a liability.
In my circumstance, that happened.
Can you elaborate on that? How do you start something and it's a asset instead of a liability? Are you able to elaborate on that?
Well, just say you're going to use that credit to go into the real estate backing business. You're not going to be able to do that with a CPN. You're going to need to do that with a Social Security number. So do you understand? You start that, you can use your CPN and get yourself going again, but and you're getting money or whatever you need, you're getting loans. But then when your SS has laid for a while dormant and then you want to start going back into that, then you're able to build wealth from the other side because you've learned how to use that Social Security number to your advantage rather than to just use it for credit cards, because that's really what got most people in trouble in the first place.
To my situation, because mine didn't happen from negligence. I was actually excellent with credit, but what happened was I was a little naive and I purchased a house in like 2006, and it was right during that bubble. And I got in an adjustable rate mortgage. Did not know any better. I was kind of young at the time. Dived in.
Okay.
And it was adjusting every year on me. And I was like, man, I can't do this. So I just had to press the button, you know. And it wasn't from negligence of any sort. Credit cards, that was easy. I never even liked credit, really, because it always seemed like a debt trap, really. Like, I don't want to pay for it. If I don't have it, I don't want it, kind of. That was my thing.
Mm-hmm.
But so I had to just push that button, though, because the adjustable rate could go all the way to 13.5%. And by the time I left, I was at, like, 9%. And I was like, I just can't keep doing this. It's ridiculous, man. So I pressed the button. But I see where you're going, so to get in back in the real estate world, though, you do have to have that in Ligas or that type game.
Exactly.
Up to par.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now,
okay.
Instead of using the social, I'm sure there's another way of doing that outside of using the social. You set up a business and use the EIN, right?
You can. You can do that.
Yeah.
But now, if you're going to, you can set a business up and use an EIN. But most generally, you're going to have, if you don't know how to start your business entity, you will wind up using your social
So they need to educate themselves. Because we teach because we don't even fool with socials. I know I personally don't use mine. I don't touch it.
So
I don't use it. I use EINs or CPNs. You know,
and
I
had I known,
people.
And so.
Yeah.
So
ahead,
many
I'm
people
sorry.
Don't realize what could have happened and what did happen with those that were educated enough to know that it wasn't necessary to give up their home or to file bankruptcy on it, because there were so many foreclosures at that time. My business was pretty well booming because I was doing the modifications. The government had set up a program, so a lot of those people are still in their homes today. And they got their homes modified so they were able to stay in them. Now, I know there was a lot of misinformation and people were panicking, but there are still a lot of people out there today that are holding on, paying those big mortgages, and it's not necessary. There's still plenty of money available for doing modifications.
If I'd have known what I know now, I'd have third-party debt collector to them, but I didn't know any of this back then, man. Like, I was fresh in the game.
But I think in your situation, you could have went into a modification and went into a fixed rate instead of an adjustable rate.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I kind of got set up because the way the realtor was telling me when I first went in, he was like, yo, just get it real fast because your credit's a little off, but in 2 years you can just come refinance. And I'm like, okay,
they
cool.
They always say
years.
That to sell something.
Right.
They always, and it's never quite right. What they say it's going to be when you go back. That's like going to a car lot. Hey, yeah, they give you this high rate refinance in a year, but they never tell you that car is losing value that whole year. So most
exactly.
Folks, it's not going to refi it. And if they do, you're still going to have a high interest rate, and you're starting those payments all over again. So
you hit it right on the nose. It was so upside down. That was what was killing it. It was so upside down, nobody would touch it. Like, man, it's way mm-hmm. what you got it for. It's not worth any of this right now. You know, and I was like, but I was such a, I didn't know. It just looked so sweet when the deal was on the table when I was younger, man. So I was like, you know, you live and you learn, you know, but.
Daddy, you know what? At least you went out there and you stepped out there and bought you a home. You know how many people that only are afraid to? I know people in this old and they've never bought a home before, never. And they move into apartments, rent, and they have excellent credit. And I say, why don't y'all just buy a house instead of moving every time they raise the rent? You know,
right.
Some people are just not in that mindset. You know,
yeah, it was a.
I know somebody that moved 6 times in the last 7 years because they keep raising the rent. I'm like, and they have great credit. I'm like, go buy a house. Stop doing that. Then you just keep the rate. You keep paying the same payment every month. But anyway.
Yeah.
But see, that's a lot of uneducated thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you don't understand what it can do for you. You don't see. And then there are a lot of people like, they don't want to keep up the yard. They don't want to do this. So they prefer
that
to just live in
me.
An apartment.
That
mm-hmm.
I don't want to. I have to mow the lawn. I got a guy who mows my lawn for like $40 every 2 weeks. That's nothing. He comes, he edges it up, does everything. You know, I don't
right.
have time to do it. So I let somebody else do it and pay them. That's what they
yeah.
do. That's not a lot of money. To maintain, because if you think about keeping up your yard, keeping up a yard is a lot of work.
Oh, yeah,
real.
If you get them HOAs, I had
summertime.
HOAs, them boys are,
it's
HOAs
a lot of work
DFA.
Keeping the yard up. Not
yeah.
even about the HOA, it's just time consuming. If you want it right,
yeah.
you know, if you're just going out there just mowing it and walking away, or if you're talking about mowing it, edging it, you know, trimming up the hedges and all of that stuff, then, you know, you
yeah,
got to spend some time out there. Yeah.
Yeah, I did. Because when I did mine, it was a good learning experience because I actually remodeled the bathroom, did marble, kitchen. Mm-hmm. So, like, I learned a lot. Like, even though I quote unquote took a L in the end, right? But I learned a lot from
I don't
the
think you really took a loss. I just, you know, just a bad investment, and you just learned not to do that again. That's it.
Right.
You know what to do
yeah,
next time.
Yeah, but it's got to be a
nothing
fixed rate.
Is really a
mean,
loss.
Right. Exactly, because you can't take it anyway when you exit. It's all just experience,
right.
you know. But yeah.
yeah,
I know you're keeping it short tonight, so I'm a yield off. Appreciate the information to the guests. As usual, Akeem, appreciate it, man. Peace to the God. All
right, peace. Yeah. All right. We're going to go to the next caller. 484-721. I didn't even open up the mic. 484-721. Peace to God. What's up?
Peace. I had a little question with you tonight. Thanks for the sister to come on and talk about bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, my mother, how you doing, sister?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Great. I had a, something that happened with my mom. She said that she just for bankruptcy about 2 months ago, and I asked her which
uh-huh.
one she filed, 7 or 13.
Uh-huh.
And
uh-huh.
she said no. So I asked her, I said, well, I kept the house, right? She said, yeah. So she said, I obviously kept the house. So whatever one that it was that left me. So I looked it up. So I figured out which one she did, and then I've been reading about the bankruptcies and stuff. I never had to do anything like that myself because I never, like, went for any houses or any credit really like that all in my life. And I'm 42 right now. So, but her, you know, I was asking her, you know, hey, what type did you do? She said this is her second one. So,
okay, you can do, well, I don't know how old your mother is, but you can do them every 7 to 10 years, and that depended upon how far back it was.
Okay.
So you're saying this is her second one? It had to have been that length of time in between.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, it was a little while back. But she said, you know, it's not that bad, you know, from what people say. What you said in the beginning, there's a lot of misinformation about bankruptcy out there. But my mom is actually using it in a positive way, the way she's using it, I guess.
Well, there is a lot of misinformation, and there are some people that use it to – this is hypothetical, let's say it like that. They use it to build wealth. So let's say you filed bankruptcy 10 years ago, and you went into business, but now you're overwhelmed, so – you filed bankruptcy, but you learned and you're ready to do it again. And you file your bankruptcy, go right back into business again. So you continually build, and there are people that continually build their wealth that way. But there's other ways of doing it.
I got you.
I think that's it. Didn't your boy Trump, he filed what,
yes.
6 or 7 times?
Good example.
He used it as a, it is, if you really know the ins and outs of it, it is, most of the people that really know what they're doing don't file bankruptcy when they're going broke. They file as a way to build wealth because the law says
exactly.
They can do it. Mm-hmm. You know, the law says they can do it. You can get rid of all of this and go into business as another name. You know,
mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people, that's why we teach about not using it. So for me, going into bankruptcy is just to clear off the debt from what I had, which is whatever I had left over with the straw man, because I don't do business with him anymore. I have other businesses I use EIN for that has built up credibility. Plus, I have a CPA. So I don't even have to use my social at all. Now, if I decide to buy a house, then I'm going to have to use some type of my estate number or something like that. But, you know, but that's what building a trust is all about. I'm working on that. But for me, the strategy is not to use the social. And that's mainly what we teach you. You know, hey, try not to use that because the social causes a lot of problems, causes tax issues, all kinds of stuff. But some people are still got jobs where they are using a social and they have to do taxes. And this is the best route for them to go to relieve them of some of that pressure of the daily credit card debt that they keep building up on. So
yeah,
exactly.
And that's what's happening. Most of the people that are listening still have jobs and still have credit card debt. And how do they treat credit card debt in a bankruptcy? How is that handled?
Well, credit card debt is what we call an unsecured debt. It's not secured by anything. Most unsecured debt, there's no problem getting rid of it. Now, let's just say you go to a furniture store and you buy a lot of furniture. Now, you've had the furniture for a year. Now, if that furniture is over $10,000, $15,000 and you've only paid for it for a year, the company has the right to ask for that back. But most of the time, most generally, they won't, because it costs them more to get that furniture back than it would for them to just let it go. So it's written off
right.
on their books.
Right, okay. Now, you know how some companies will send you a 1099 if they write the debt off? Does that happen to someone who files in a bankruptcy?
Now, they send those 1099s out, usually like if you go into foreclosure or something like that. Sometimes they will send a 1099. But I've never known it to be that if you just had like an unsecured debt that they send you a 1099.
Okay, I got you. All right, got any other questions, brother?
I do, Joaquin. You mentioned the trust and everything, and you mentioned your businesses. Okay, so yeah, so moms agreed to put the house into my 9-8 family trust that I started, and and I'm drafting up the documents to get that conveyed over right now. Now my question is. So my question will become, once the trust has it in its possession, okay, now my question is, now that trust now, can that trust take over all the affairs of the home, of the house now, as far as like...
If you put anything in a trust, the trust, if you give up ownership to a trust, the trust now owns it and it handles all of the affairs.
So that means that... Now, I got a quick mini question inside of there. Okay, now she owes a little debt. She took out a little $60.
You can't take and put anything in a trust if there's a lien against that property.
Okay, so then
all debts happen. You can't, because you're actually selling that property to the trust. It has, all debts got to be cleared off. You can't do that. It has no liens on it at all. That's be
okay.
Free and clear. That's with anything you put into a trust.
So that means that if it's more than satisfaction or anything, the trust can't do anything for that.
Well, you're gonna have to pay that debt off. However you decide to do it, you're gonna have to pay it off.
Pay it off
before you give it over to the trust.
Oh, the trust. But my question is, can it come from the trust? It can't, is what you're saying, right? It cannot
what are you
come from
you,
the trust.
The trust paid for it?
That's
yeah,
what I'm
saying. I just answered that. I said any way
okay.
you choose to pay it off,
yeah.
It has to be paid off.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, that was my
All
question.
Right. Okay.
Get it?
All right.
Thank you, brother.
All right. Peace.
Peace. All right.
All right, let's go to the next caller. You still with me, Connie?
I'm still here.
Okay. All right, let's go on to 313-740.
Oh, you know what it do. Peace to the God. Pure energy.
Yes,
radiating, inundating, and penetrating from the D. Peace to the God.
Peace to the God. You got a question for Connie?
Oh, man, how you doing today, young lady?
I'm just great today.
Actually, I ain't really got no questions, man. You know, it was Thursday rant, you know what I'm saying? But the topic is beautiful, helping people, you know, with bankruptcy and stuff. But actually, speaking on bankruptcy, I just wanted to talk about, has anybody heard about the Puerto Rico situation?
Yeah, I heard about that 2 weeks ago. Yeah, they're in bankruptcy.
So what I'm trying to see, because last night on the show, right at the
Hold
end.
Hold on, I need to get the people that have questions for her, because she has some things she needs
All right,
to do.
Okay, for sure. Just
right,
come
so
back.
I'll come back to you. All right.
All right.
All right, let's go to the next caller, 404-604.
Peace to the gods. Good show. I ain't got no questions. Hit the button by mistake. But good show, though.
All right. Peace. All right. Let's move on. I'm getting on through it. 770-891.
Yo, peace to the gods.
Peace to the gods. What's going on?
Man, I want to rant, so come back to me if you can.
You ain't got no questions or nothing. All right. So that's it. I got everybody that had their hands up. Connie, I think we covered pretty much what we needed to cover to help educate people on the benefits of getting out of debt. Because most of the calls I have is, I want to discharge, I want to do this. A lot of people don't know that bankruptcy is a public discharge of all your debt. That's what it is. Am
exactly.
I correct for saying that?
You are. So
right.
I'll give out my website once more and my phone number. If anybody has any questions, they can always call me. I'm available. I'm on Mountain Standard Time, though. So my website is cjsfinancialservices.com. Telephone number, 719-495-6411. And I've really enjoyed conversing with you today or tonight or this afternoon.
Thank you for coming in and giving that information out. You have helped me. I mean, every time I talk to you, I learn something new about you. You did not. I never knew you were a paralegal.
Oh, yeah, that's what I do.
I didn't know. So, okay, so what you're telling me, if I needed some stuff typed up, some legal documents, you could do it?
I can do that. I do divorces. I type up divorces. I do most paperwork. Anything that I can do anything other than litigate in court for you.
Oh, man. You know,
and
I'm not a typist. And I think this is, I think that's a benefit because a lot of people need those, you know, we talk about suing people. So you'd be able to put the, can you put together a lawsuit if somebody needs to file one, just do the paperwork? They tell you what the situation is.
I can put together a lawsuit, but I do pick and choose those that I do because some of them are very extensive and sometimes the use of the law would require me to do a lot of, I would want to be accurate with it. And my bankruptcy and divorces and things like that keep me so busy, modifications, that I wouldn't be able to give it adequate time. But I'm sure that I could, yeah, I would be able to refer you to someone that could do that for you.
Okay. Now, let me ask you, what if somebody wanted to put their own lawsuit together, but they need it, because I know lawyers, they use software to do certain things. Like if I wanted to look up case law and things like that, is there places for the layperson to go and get that type of software?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there are.
Okay.
You can, in fact, there are places online. You can buy LexisNexis will let you come in and do casework. There's many places that you can go.
Okay. Of course, all that's for a fee. They cost money.
All that's for a fee.
Right. You know, some more people put their hands up.
I'm here.
Ain't that crazy?
I'm fine.
Okay, let me see if these people want to ask you a question. Hold on. 906-364.
Okay, now I got a quick question. My brother, he filed for bankruptcy a while back, and then a couple months later, he filed for another bankruptcy, which was less than a year. Can you explain what he did? Because you know, I was like, how you do two bankruptcies in 1 year? I didn't even know that was possible.
Right.
That's kind of strategy. Sometimes we use that strategy when we're not okay. Say you want to. You want to file, but your income is of such that you have to file a 13. If you file a 13, you're able to, in a couple of years, your income might go down. So then you come back and you file it under Chapter 7 and get complete relief of it. But
Kind of what I did. I went in as a 13 and then I came back as a 7.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And when I came out of 7, I had less debt to deal with. When I came back, before I had a lot.
So you'd already paid some of it down?
Mm-hmm. You're right. You're absolutely right. So that's what he did.
Okay.
Right.
That was my only question.
Okay. All right, brother.
All
right. Got two more calls down there.
Peace.
All right, 484-721. Peace, Akeem. I got two questions. One for you on what you said to me earlier, and then I have one for the sister about.
I'm
going
to come back to you on mine. Just ask the sister so we can get her questions out, and then I'll come back to you later. Go ahead.
Okay. For the sister. Is it possible that I could possibly network with you or one of your colleagues that you could refer? I'm putting together this trust, and I'm looking for to add on people for those types of purposes. well, what Akeem was talking about, that's needed. So, like, wondering if I could get a hold of you.
What are you talking about specifically, like doing your paperwork, your paralegal paperwork and things like that? That's what you're talking about? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's no problem. You have my phone number?
Yes, I just got it off y'all. Mm-hmm. So I was just wondering if I could give you a call. And you know that you know you look out for me. Maybe you can refer to me to somebody if you don't have the time yourself, something like that.
Sounds
good.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. All right. I'll come back. Well, go ahead. Get your question on. I'll take the question now. What's up? What's your question?
Oh, okay. Now, when you were talking about your businesses and the bankruptcies with the businesses. Okay.
I didn't bankrupt the businesses. I bankrupted the illegals.
Right, right. I know, but what my question is when you have a business and you're doing bankruptcy, is that Chapter 11?
Yes, you're right. But I was going to let her answer it because that's her field. That's really a question for her.
It is a Chapter 11. Now, there are some people that are not an LLC or an entity such as a corporation, and their business is just basically, I don't want to call it a hobby, but you have to be in a certain income for it not to be a hobby. So if it's just a business that you've carried along in your name, a lot of times you can just do it as a Chapter 7, because a Chapter 11 will cost you three times as much to do, and there are it's a lot more that you'd have to do. So it would be to your advantage to be able to file it as a Chapter 7.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot. I looked at that Chapter 11.
Yeah.
They say something about debt in possession. What does that mean? I know that's in the Chapter 11.
Well, sometimes you have assets that they confiscate or that they make you sell off and pay in the bills, do different things like that.
Oh,
okay.
Now, would that be the one Trump did? Would that be the one that the Trumps did and all of that? And
I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
But Trump it would be hard for us to even imagine what they did, because they have a lot of lawyers and they know a lot of loopholes. So I'm sure they used every one of them.
Hey, whatever he did, it was right. Nobody put him in jail for it. So and he keeps doing it. So it's got to be something too. I think the only reason why people talk about Trump because he's in front. He's out in the limelight. But I believe that a lot of these big guys, have done exactly what Trump did, and no one's just talked about it. That's all.
That is so true.
Yeah, and I think they only talk about him because he's just out there. You know, he's very controversial. So it's easy to point the finger at him and say he filed for bankruptcy. And when you really look at people that talk about him filing for bankruptcy, most people that criticize him for it are the ones who don't really understand bankruptcy, and they're not doing so well themselves. So they don't understand business. Why he did it, you know, you got to stop and think. A man is a billionaire and he's filing bankruptcy, so that means that's a business, that's a part of his business strategy.
Yes.
And then you have to also look at it like this. If I'm a billionaire and I'm down to, say, $10 million, I feel that I'm broke. But for you and I,
that's a lot.
It's not really broke. But they feel they're broke when they're like that. And you know, it's so they have that $10 million left over. And it's easy for them to start all over again. Because once you get the right mindset, and that's actually what everything amounts to, the right mindset, you're going to have that million, you're going to have that $1 billion back in no time. So it's just a strategy that's used.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. To him, wait a minute, I don't have my billion, 10 million, that's like change there, you know? For us,
yeah.
$10 million, we'd be like, oh, I'm good. You know, it's all what your perception is. So wealth is basically depend on the perception of the person. Really. That's all it is.
I agree. I saw him.
When you really look at it, the amount of money that you're earning right now is basically your mind, that's the capacity of what your mind think you can make.
Well,
that's really how it works. Say it again.
Change your mind, change your reality. That's the lane that we're all trying to get to. And we want to be. But it's like when I said it on TV, Akeem, you know, it right away, I noticed exactly what he was doing, and I knew that was the trust. I saw it all. He just explained it. I understand. When you said about the business, I looked up all the chapters, and I was like, okay, that must be 11 then. Okay. So I just wanted to ask him that.
Yeah. All right, bro. All right, peace.
Peace. Peace, sister. All
right.
Peace.
All right, let's go to
date.
Last one, 310-403. 310-403. Peace.
Yeah, peace, sister. I didn't, I forgot, I didn't catch your name. What was your name again?
Connie Brooks. How are you?
Connie Brooks. I'm doing well. How you doing?
Great.
I raised my hand. I didn't have a question about bankruptcy, but I raised my hand because I heard you mention you did divorce. And I have a question. I've been trying to get a clear answer on this for the longest, and I can't find anything. Me and my ex, we're still on good terms and everything, but we got married in Jamaica, and we never got a license or anything in the United States. You know, we presented ourselves as married, you know, as far as taxes and things like that, and she took on my name and things like that. I'm trying to find out, as far as getting a divorce, do I just need to go back to Jamaica and do it there, or is there anything I would need to do or can do in the United States we want to just legally get rid of?
I can answer that, but I'm going to see what you think. Go ahead.
Okay, right. You got married.
This is really a mind thing going on. This is really mental. Go ahead.
You got married in Jamaica, correct?
Right.
And you've been in the United States how long?
So we just went there for the wedding. That.
Oh, you only got
they
married
just did
there.
The service.
Okay.
Basically, what happened, they just did the services.
Yeah, okay. And we got the Jamaican license. Yeah.
Well, you can get a divorce here. You can get a divorce in the United States.
Okay.
Now, if you choose to go back to Jamaica, you'll be under the. I don't know whether the laws in Jamaica would be better, or the laws in the state that you're living in, because different states have different laws about divorce and assets. So depending upon how long you've been separated and what assets you have, I would check check to see what would be my best, you know, what would be best for me. I don't want to.
Okay. Because I was just worried about because we didn't have a license here. I was like, well, how could we get a divorce here if we never had a license?
Well, you guys are what you call
common
law
marriage.
But
see, even if you lived in the United States, even if you lived here for, say you've lived here together, depending upon what state you're living in, you're legally married anyway.
Yep.
You'd have to get a divorce.
How you did it was when you did taxes together.
That's the
moment you merged those two entities to into each other. The moment you did whenever you filed taxes, and she went and took your name on. What you did was a private type of situation because you didn't do it under the jurisdiction of the United States. You did it in another country. So they don't even look at. The fact that the only thing they look at was how were you cohabitating? Were y'all mixing bills together? Were y'all doing taxes together? When you went out in public, did you say that was your wife? All of that makes you married. All of that.
Okay.
A lot of people think they got to go and get this license and do that,
But if you read the law, the law looks at you as being married if you do certain things. If you present yourself like that. You know, in some places there, you know, like you can just do an announcement in the paper. And say,
right.
But, you know, there's a private
that,
way to
I
do
I might
it,
have to go out and do that all over again. Because I can't get the challenge up
well,
anymore.
Because I did read that law where it said if you present yourself as married or you're married outside the United States, that the United States would honor it. But I was just trying to figure then if it's for a divorce, then couldn't we just say we're not married anymore and draw up an affidavit and have to honor that?
Glory across the street.
You can do that. You know, we do teach y'all that. You can do that. We teach y'all that.
Right. Okay.
There's a private way to do it.
Okay.
But come on my show Tuesday and I'll break that down.
All right. We'll do. I'll figure out after Carolee. All right.
Because
guys,
you got to think, if you get the courts involved in it, then you got a whole other animal. If y'all got children, you're going to have problems. Yeah,
that's what we're trying to avoid. We're like, we don't want to have to go through all that. We just want to take care of it ourselves. Because we already, we've been apart 2 years. We're good. We already been doing our thing. So.
Right. Well, get on my show Tuesday, and I'll talk about, that'll be a good topic for us to talk about, private way of separating y'all. So. All right.
No doubt. All right.
All right, Colleen. That's it. I'm going to, you have anything, any last words, Connie?
I don't. I really enjoyed talking to everyone. And, of course, you have my number and you have my website address. So anytime anyone needs to know anything, they can get with me. And I hope I'm able to do this again.
Okay. Oh, yeah, we'll have you back on to talk about this. But now that everybody knows where to reach you. So contact her. She does a lot of stuff, for real. Good work. All right, Connie.
Thank you, and good night.
All right, good night. All right. Peace. All right, I need to go back to a couple of people. Who was it that had their hand up? Oh, Septimius. What's his number? Was it this one? 313-740.
Peace to the God, Arkeem. I'm back.
All right. What's going on?
Hey, man. Yeah, was trying to just elaborate a little bit on what they was talking about last night on the show. Man, that's...
What were they talking about last night?
Okay. What they was talking about last night, man, was how Puerto Rico went into bankruptcy. And how that would sort of affect, you know, things that's maybe a precursor.
Were you talking about that last night or yesterday? I know I talked about that last Thursday.
No, this was yesterday.
Oh, Jonah was talking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you had popped in, though, last night on the show. I could have sworn.
Man, everything's a blur, man. I got so much going on, I don't remember. I know we talked about something, but I don't remember the details. I know they just trying. They letting Puerto Rico go down. They gonna let them go. They're not helping them. They're not bailing them out.
Yeah.
And I just read an article today that their water supply is bad, worse than any U.S. territory or state. They're saying. Water infrastructure. They're having a lot of issues over there. I frankly think they let them go down so they can steal that land from them.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
There's a lot of people who own land. They're going to move into the States and abandon, and then they're going to come and take over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man. But that could
then
be...
Then they're going to start putting money into it.
Right. Get it for cheap.
Get it for cheap, and then build it up, make it very expensive.
Get that bread.
Mm-hmm. Going to Puerto Rico on vacation was expensive anywhere.
Oh, was it?
Went on vacation, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you got to get there, you got to pay for your food and all that. I like to go places where it's all inclusive.
Yeah. I once, as far as I got out there, it was South Beach, and that was all inclusive.
Right.
But so, yeah, they was also, check this out, they was also talking about birth certificates, man. This one guy came on the show, and he called in.
Oh, he was talking about the birth certificates that they're giving out of pot bills now instead of authentication since all of that happened.
Yeah.
Now I'm starting to remember, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you feel me?
Yeah.
So,
I remember that. So,
Pete,
so y'all need to get them those birth certificates authenticated. Or if you didn't, you might have problems getting it authenticated now. All the way up,
yeah,
at least.
So what I'm getting at is this right here. If you done already authenticated, right, and you got
you
your affidavit, and you got your affidavit of ownership already attached, that make you the creditor.
Yeah, you become the creditor instead of the debtor. You're gonna be exempt when they come in. And change everything over. That's what Jola was talking about. Go back and listen to the show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So all that time, even back on the privatization video, he was saying, like, when that time comes, whoever authenticated, somebody is going to have to holler at them. And divvy up, right?
That's what's supposed to happen. No, I don't see you get no money out of it. He didn't say that.
No. Right.
Right.
So what? All right,
I'm getting off, brother, because I gotta get ready for tomorrow. Get on this road. But all
right, man. Hey, man. Safe trails, man.
Week.
You know, safe all travels.
Right. All right, peace. All right, let me announce this seminar once again before we get off. Where is that flyer? There it is. It's the Arch Pursuer Seminar coming up this weekend, 13th and 14th, featuring Jonah Bay, myself, Joey Bounce L. Bay. The fee is $90 at the door. It's at 133 Carnegie Way, Northwest, Atlanta, Georgia, 30303, from 10 to 5 each day. Call ADEP 678-887-3609 and AL 404-427-6391. And right after this one, we got one on the 20th. Once this one is over with, well, I got one on the 20th. I can't say me. I'm going to be the speaker at this one. This one is going to be in Charlotte. And I'm going to give you the number to call and get that one. That number is 980-833-3795. That's basically talking. We're going to concentrate on CPNs, credit, getting those fixed up. If you still want to use it, for those who want to use it. But mainly I'm talking about CPNs and how to operate with your numbers and how to get stuff off that's inaccurate. We're going to break that down. I'm going to have templates, everything there. It's going to be at the Arambe Gardens, 1801 North Tryon Street, Suite 517, Charlotte, North Carolina. All right. Peace and God. See y'all in Atlanta. If I don't see you in Atlanta, I hope to see you in Charlotte. Peace.